Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a beautiful, again, another just beautiful day. Hope everybody is doing well and looking forward to what looks like another nice-looking weekend. And it's a weekend without college football here locally, but there are a lot of college football games, a lot of big-time high school games. It is week two of the playoffs, and both local teams that we carry here on our family of stations are on the road.
And a gigantic college basketball game on Sunday. I mean, Auburn's got the number one team in the country in Birmingham. Should be a pro-Auburn crowd. I'm going to go. I'm hot-wiring the station vehicle and driving to Birmingham on Sunday to check out Auburn and Houston at the BJCC at Legacy Arena. And yeah, what an early test, Bill, for an Auburn men's basketball team that has cruised to two of their three victories, had to fight Bethune tooth and nail there on opening night. But what a huge game on Sunday for Stephen Pearl and this new look Auburn men's basketball.
Oh, team. Yeah, no question. I mean, it is the biggest test, the first big test, and you couldn't get much bigger than matching up with a Houston team that is extremely talented, has obviously much more experience than Auburn does playing together, since Auburn only returns one player. We talked about it yesterday. Auburn's got a couple of guys that have played against Houston, though, as well as Tahad Pettiford, in addition to Tahad Pettiford, who really had his coming out party last year in Houston against the Cougars, but because Kevin Overton at Texas Tech, and then, of course, Keyshawn Hall at Central Florida. We're in the conference with Houston a year ago, so they have experience too, and saw some comments from Kevin Overton where he said he's been telling the players, you're going to have to be ready for a physical 40 minutes against Houston.
Well, the four D1 players, well, three of them, I don't think Keyshawn Murphy's ever seen Houston before, but the other three guys on the team have experience,
right?
Recent experience against this Houston team. And this Houston team is a lot like last year's Auburn team in that, I mean, this was the runner-up in the national championship game, and they bring back, I think, about as much. I mean, there are maybe five or six major conference teams that bring back the kind of production Houston brings back in terms of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys weren't as productive as players like Uzan and Sharp. I mean, Uzan might be, he's easily one of the best players in the country. I'm stunned Sharp is back. Like, they've got it feels like, the conditions are there for a big year for Houston in the same way the conditions were there last year for a big year for Auburn.
When
you think about all the guys
that's why they're ranked where they are.
That's why they're ranked where they are. That's why they're that's why it's such a big test for Auburn. I mean, look, they've been to the last six Sweet 16s. Like, it's Houston to the Sweet 16, Houston to the second weekend has been one of the safest bets in college basketball. And I know Stephen Pearl said earlier today, like, Kelvin Sampson's on the short list of the coaches he admires the most. And when you see the way a Kelvin Sampson team plays, I can see why why Stephen would want his teams to resemble that in makeup and metal.
You just think about how much, Bruce talked about Kelvin Sampson. I mean, not just when Auburn was getting ready to play them.
Well, two similar careers.
Yes.
I mean, guys who they didn't necessarily have a straight line to success when it comes to Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson. They had roller coaster careers and ugly exits from places, and they You know, they got back on the horse and they went to a program where they thought they could win, and they won as much as anybody in college basketball. Like, that's the story of Bruce Pearl at Auburn. That's the story of Kelvin Sampson at Houston. And it's one of several. I mean, Auburn still got Purdue in the non-conference. Auburn still got Michigan. Auburn still got Oregon, Arizona. Like, there are some really good teams between now and the start of conference play. NC State is playing good basketball for Will Wade in year one. But this test on Sunday is massive for Auburn.
Yeah, because it's the first one, and you want to see how this this group of so many new players how they handle it, because they're gonna be facing quite the challenge there, and it'd be interesting to see. I mean, how Stephen Pearl handles it.
Well, how much of this early success has been a mirage, too, right? How much of what Auburn has done the first three games is because of the level of competition, and how much of it is something they'll be able to consistently do?
Right, they're going to be able to go out and expect to score 90-plus points a game. I mean,
win rebounding battles by 20, 25-plus a night.
They're not going to be outsizing everybody else the way they have been. As a matter of fact, I mean, Houston is going to be a much bigger team than Auburn.
And the jump from the kind of half-court defense Auburn has faced so far to what Houston does, it's night and day. And so that's going to be it's a matter of it's a big step up in competition, in weight class for this Auburn men's basketball team. Feels like if they can last year the game changed when Auburn started pushing the pace a little bit more,
and that's one of the toughest things to do against Houston, is to get that advantage and be able to control the tempo.
That fourth quarter, it was last 10 minutes or so was great for Auburn. We'll see if they can push that kind of pace against Houston on Sunday, or if Houston can. I mean, if you play Houston's, it's so hard to beat Houston at their speed. Like, if they control the number of possessions, if they control, coach, it's like a suffocating defense, right?
Yep.
Like, if you play them on their terms.
Yep.
They will happily play their game and probably win based on the results the last couple of years. But if you can speed them up and keep them from getting set, feels like playing fast on offense against Houston is vitally important.
Oh yeah, and
the longer the shot clock goes, the more it feels like it's advantage Houston and that Houston defense.
No, I agree. I think Auburn, this team is much better suited to up tempo and to be able to try to keep it as fast as possible. And Houston's never been a team, well, I won't say never, but I mean, under Kelvin Sampson, they haven't been a team that really just wants to press that tempo.
Well, it's not a matter of taking bad shots either. I mean, you need to take quick shots, but you need to find ways to get guys. You need to get into the offense quickly, and that's easier said than done against Houston. They've got really high level athletes too, and it's going to be tough on the. Gonna be tough to rebound. I mean, the level of the kind of teams Auburn has seen recently, where they've been able to dominate on the glass, if they can approximate that against Houston, it's a really, really big.
Oh, they've just got to be able to hang with them on the boards. I mean, now one thing I think that Auburn has, I think Auburn's got a few guys though, more players. I don't know whose that was. It wasn't mine. Auburn's got a few players that can create their own shot. So I think that could really help as well Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, exciting stuff though. I mean, you just saw Alabama last night play one of the number one teams in the country,
and about as you would expect. Yeah. I mean, a high scoring game, but Purdue led throughout, and they win it. I think it was 97-90 was the final. I didn't get a chance to see it. I could just follow it along. I hadn't started my free trial yet for the weekend.
We'll see with Filon and Holloway. Obviously, you know, they're going to be the tip of the spear.
Oh yeah,
for
Alabama's guards can score with anybody and play with anybody.
But I just don't know if Purdue's physical, man. Purdue's got a couple of the best players in college basketball, and they are they're going to be a load. Can't wait to see Auburn in that matchup against Purdue a little bit later on in the season.
All right, we're just underway here on the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Don, what you been doing today?
Well, had to go do a little blood work for my annual physical next week.
and like I was talking to you earlier, I had trouble finding the vein.
My goodness, he's
so I look like a pincushion.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah,
give me that needle, Don. I'll find one.
Yeah, I bet.
I'll get one for
that's
you.
What Don,
you. Look at his arm. Look, yeah, look at he'll show you his arm. It's like they had trouble finding it.
That's,
man,
that's what Donna said. She'd like to stick me with a pitchfork, but. No, just enjoying the day. Had some trees removed from our good friend.
Oh, yeah? It's
mostly branches hanging over the house. And
golly, my wife said, okay, you think you could get these couple of limbs?
Yeah.
We've got a tree that has died out at the side, and the limbs are hanging over the azaleas, so it's like, I've got a pole saw and it's not electric. I mean, it's an extension with a saw on the end.
That's tough.
That wore me out just getting three
limbs.
That's
a good workout.
I need to call Jamie.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, you got to call in reinforcements here.
The tree needs to come down, and then there's a couple other trees beside it that need to come down. Great day to be outside doing things.
So. I didn't do much. Donna was the supervisor on that. I just kind of
said. She's the
yard lady. Yeah, I'm the cook.
And I usually do the outside stuff, and I wasn't planning on doing more of that. But I guess while I was outside doing a couple of things. Yeah, my wife came out and started trimming some things back, so that's where we ended up doing a whole lot of things.
But what a beautiful day. And all weekend, I think, is going to be gorgeous.
Going to be great weather. So should be perfect weather for high school football tonight, Auburn High down in
Big
Gaffney.
Big games.
Yeah, so and you'll be able to hear both Auburn High and Lee Scott as they play out of town. Airtime's 6:30, obviously Auburn High on Wings 94.3. And Lee Scott on AU 100. So those will be coming up this evening at 6:30. Second round playoffs all around the state as we head toward state championships.
You got Opelika in action too, right?
They're home, I believe.
At home.
They've got Baker tonight, right? So it's a couple big games in the local area.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Ferg's covering Lochipoca. He just mentioned he's gonna be at that game tonight. So I mean, there's a couple of high stakes high school football games that you can either see or hear, including Wings 94.3 will have Auburn High School football tonight at Daphne.
334-321-1390 is the number to get you through here on this Friday. Love to hear from you. Anything on your mind sports-wise? You want to talk a little we can talk college football, talk the coaching search at Auburn and other places. Man, there are all kinds of stories. Yesterday, I didn't see it when we were on the air, but I guess while we were on the air, yesterday came rumblings from the state of Mississippi. I mean, from our old friend Neil McCready.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, Neil McCready yesterday on his podcast said that he believes Lane Kiffin is leaving and taking the Florida job. And Ole Miss fans are not happy one bit.
And it's, I think, part of I read, what was it, somebody else had a piece today about sort of the, it's too bad that college football seasons can get overshadowed by coaching searches.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't, I mean, the thing is, if you wait until the end of the year, the way it used to be, you're so far behind, you'd have no chance with the signing period and the transfer portal. You'd be looking for a coach while your players are getting in the portal.
I know Stephen Godfrey was quoted. He's another guy pretty well connected in the world of Ole Miss, and he was quoted saying he's heard Ole Miss is in the prelim stages of a coaching search right now, with the belief that and I don't know if he necessarily identified Florida as the likeliest culprit, although it is Ole Miss Florida week, which makes it a little
that post game is going to be wild.
Yeah, but it sounds like Ole Miss has a couple of candidates in mind where it'd be like, okay, well, if Lane Kiffin leaves, like we need to have this guy.
I think John Sumrall's one of those
guys. We need to have this guy in the back pocket ready to take over and walk right into that situation, which would still, I mean, I think it's like Bruce Pearl before, Auburn before Bruce Pearl, Auburn after Bruce Pearl. Even if Lane Kiffin were to leave for another job in the conference, it's a pretty attractive job for the next guy. After what's happened the last couple of seasons, you've coached there.
It's improved thousands times a thousand since I was there with facilities and indoor facility. We didn't have any of that, and he's done a great job. It's great place to live, great people. That's what I've been hearing too, Bill, Dan. I don't know. I mean, it's just tough on everybody. It's tough on the fans. They're so emotional, and they get, you know, that's the way we are.
Well, it's funny.
We fall in love with a team, and we like the coach, and we're winning, and all of a sudden they're going to blow us all up.
Well, keep in mind, too, if Ole Miss were to lose Lane Kiffin after a playoff game.
Championship.
But if they were to do that and they weren't prepared, you're not shopping. Oh. You're not shopping from the
same pool of candidates because a lot of those guys
you would have wanted.
You got to be on top of it, like Bill said the other day. These guys know.
And it does sound like Sumrall has been a name linked to if the Ole Miss job were to open. That's a name that's come up recently as a possible candidate at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, Don. You were talking the other day about Lane has a son who's a sophomore quarterback. There at Oxford High School playing
for
David
son.
Cutcliffe's son, something somebody else did point out. And remember, there had I don't know if they're back together, but Lane's, I guess, ex-wife. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. If
right.
She's a Gainesville girl.
Oh,
she is. She was.
Isn't she somebody's? She's somebody's daughter.
John
right?
Reeves.
Yeah,
she's John Reeves' daughter.
I did not know that. She's a Gainesville girl.
That's what I'm talking about. She is a University of Florida legacy.
Wow.
And John Reeves is the guy who had the nine interception game, but also
against Auburn.
But that was their only loss of the season.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Indeed.
Which, again, as someone who wasn't following college football back then.
Well, no, you couldn't.
You remember that
nine interceptions in your only loss of the year? Like that's. What the world happened?
Yeah.
Be gambling investigations into that these days.
I was just thinking
about
that.
Yeah.
Wow.
One check his accounts.
Anyway, so that is something to keep in mind.
I did not realize that.
Do you think it's intensified because it's Ole Miss Florida this week?
Yes.
Because Lane Kiffin is going, where is that game? Is that in?
It's in Oxford. It's in Oxford. Because I said if it was in Gainesville, they would have had signs welcoming him or something like that down there.
Yeah, and there's talk of like, I know there's been like, there's like recruiting buzz, right, about some of the recruits who are currently talking about going to Ole Miss. Yeah, maybe like, it's
crazy, guys.
Mm. Yep. All right, so anything on your mind sports-wise, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and let's get to The Drive hotline. And Spectre gets us started. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, I was listening to Doug's show this morning, and for some reason, 106.7 was going out. It would be dead silence, and it'd come back on. And most of the time, it was happening most of the afternoon. But anyway, I caught a little bit of what I want to talk about on Doug's show.
All right.
He had Jake Crane on there, and he brought something up that was an absolutely fantastic. I don't know if he proposed this or heard something like this on the grapevine or what, but talking about John Sumrall and being head coach,
right?
Neil Brown being offensive coordinator and Durkin being defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear when Jake said that, but I've had a couple of people respond about that. I mean, obviously John Sumrall and Neil Brown have a relationship, and Neil is a pretty highly thought of offensive play caller. So I mean that wouldn't be the craziest thought at all.
Yeah, Neil's good. I work with Neil at Texas Tech. A good coach, good person. Just got a little bit, out of whack up there at West Virginia, but had a couple of good years. Always had a good offensive mind. He's up tempo, hurry up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there will be, I think, wherever John Sumrall washes up, there's going to be a lot of interest in who he hires as offensive coordinator. That's going to be sort of the next question.
Neil Brown would make a lot of sense.
And Neil Brown has a connection and is currently like on the staff at Texas, but he's not like an on-field coach. got a lot of money from West Virginia to go away. I could see Neil Brown deciding the next move for him would be major conference offensive coordinator and see if he can see if he can turn that into being a head coach again someday.
Yeah, I got really excited. I got chill bumps when I heard that.
You know another name, and I don't know how real this is, but it was a thought. And coach, I think you know this guy too. The way Alabama pulled Kane Womack away from being the head coach at South Alabama to coach the defense. I know a couple people that absolutely think the world of Brian Vincent, who's the coach at ULM. He was Bill Clark's OC at UAB. He's currently the head coach at ULM, but was the interim after Bill Clark at UAB, and they
got
decided,
a raw deal.
They decided to go with Trent Dilfer instead. But this guy was one of the best high school coaches in the state when Bill Clark hired him from Spain Park. I think won a lot of games there before going into college coaching. He's currently ULM's athletic director too. But like if I were a coach in the Southeast looking to fill a staff and I had SEC resources available, I think being the offensive coordinator for an SEC team might be a better deal than being ULM's athletic director and head coach.
Yeah. Now you just mentioned Kane Womack, who today. Mm-hmm. His name is circulating
as former Arkansas
possible head coach at Arkansas.
Former Arkansas fullback. He was on that 2006 team with Peyton Hillis. He was Peyton Hillis' backup in 06 with McFadden and with Felix Jones. Left. I don't think he finished his career at Arkansas, but played there for a little while. And he was a name when they talked about going defense after Pittman. That was one of the guys with Arkansas.
Absolutely, and that's what Hunter Yurcich's talking about is getting a defensive-minded head coach this time.
Spector, I know we just threw a lot of names at you. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. But listen, I still like that trio. Keep your fingers crossed, guys. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, of course. As we were saying a few minutes ago, Ole Miss may be looking at possibilities to replace Lane Kiffin. And I would think John Sumrall is going to be near the top of their list as well.
I would say, about Auburn's search, we'll see what happens with the roster. Because a lot of these guys maybe came in thinking they were going to win, and that hasn't necessarily happened for a year or two, and they might pursue other endeavors because of that. But I just have a hard time believing that a lot of these players Auburn has signed the last year or two who had offers all over the conference and all over the country. I mean, yeah, I think some of it was Auburn. I'm just inclined, maybe I'm cynical, I'm inclined to think a lot of it was money. I think a lot of it was Auburn being ready to make a top-of-the-market offer, and I suspect that if these guys continue to receive top-of-the-market opportunities, some of them, maybe a lot of them, will be inclined to stay. Not saying no matter who is the head coach, but as long as Auburn makes a credible hire.
Yes, I think there's a strong possibility that whoever Auburn has as head coach will have the opportunity to retain a decent percentage of this roster.
And I would not make a hire, and this could sound like maybe look elsewhere than DJ Durkin for head coach. I would not make a hire with the priority being, how do we hire someone who's going to keep this roster together? I think if you make a credible hire and have the NIL resources, you'll be able to keep a lot of this roster together.
I think so.
Almost no matter what. But no, I think that's a flimsy reason to keep Durkin. Like there are reasons to maybe seriously look at Durkin as the head coach. But I think the idea that he gives you the inside track on keeping the roster together compared to a James Franklin or a John Sumrall or whoever you want to pick as a candidate out there. I don't know if I buy that's considerably in Durkin's favor compared to the other guys.
334-321-1390. Do you know
Alan?
Alan is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hey guys, I'll be brief. Got a couple of questions. I know Dr. Roberts is a big sports fan.
Right.
Does he have any? I mean, what will his role be in getting a new coach?
I really believe that Chris Roberts is going to let John Cohen make the decision, and then it would just be, his stamp of approval.
I mean, when John Cohen stood up at the press conference and said, "I am the committee,"
right?
I mean, Chris Roberts could have stood up right there and said, "No, you're not." Like it's as a matter of fact, like it's a different committee. But I think the fact that like what Dr. Chris Roberts has done in this situation is he has empowered a guy that he trusts to make the right hire, and that guy
and
is,
it better be the right hire.
And you wonder how many more you wonder how many more opportunities John Cohen gets.
So that's there's a lot of pressure on that
guy. Related to that, do you think anybody either inside the administration or out kind of has Cohen's ear as far as picking one goes?
I don't know that. I don't know that there would be anyone in the administration that. I mean, he might bounce some things off some folks, but I
we don't know.
I haven't heard of anybody who has a little more who when they talk, you know, everything.
They're talking turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. When not that kind of turkey, Coach. We're not talking about. We're not on the smoker. It's not that time of year quite yet. But it's although Bill, you got to remember to place your order. Okay. No, but we don't know who's at that poker table, right? With John Cohen and the other guys talking about, you know, who might get the job.
We've talked about. I mean, look, he has talked about data and collecting data. He's getting it, you know, from quite a few different areas. We don't know exactly from whom, whose comments might mean a little more than anyone else. But
there are some people that I wouldn't be all that shocked if John Cohen reached out for some input, you know, about what they think, what they think it takes, who they think has what it takes to be the right guy, who's got the right stuff. I mean, there are, and you know, who could you talk to in that situation? John Cohen's a coach. He could talk to successful former coaches. He could talk to people who know Auburn extremely well. He could talk to people who know the current landscape of college football extremely well. Mm-hmm. He could talk to close friends, right? He could talk to people who, you know, whose opinion he really trusts.
He could talk to other ADs. I mean,
talk to us if he wants to. I mean, you know, I don't know why he would waste his time with an endeavor like that. But no, we don't know who's. Okay. I mean, we think it's a John Cohen centered search. We don't know sort of who else is who's pulling the
call, Alan. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Taking your calls, questions, comments, 334-321-1390. While we don't have a call, let me remind you guys of Game Day Men's Health, which is now here in Auburn out at Moores Mill. Went and saw them again today. They've got a great setup where you'll get a consultation. I would imagine it will be with Erin. She was there today. She does everything as I was finding out today. They were a little short staffed, but consultation, go through your medical history. They'll do blood tests, so they'll see exactly, you know, what situations you have or they can help, and they absolutely will. Anything from, you know, weight loss to energy, low T, ED. I mean, just they've got anything for guys wanting to get back and get that, you know, that drive, that feeling. You know, if you're tired of being tired, that's what I said. I'm tired of being
that's
tired.
That's a country song.
Yeah,
it?
I don't know. It should be. It should be. But, I mean, they're the folks to see. Game Day Men's Health, just off Moores Mill Road here in Auburn. All right, we were talking, obviously, I mean, the coaching search, even though there are a lot of games, like you were saying a little while ago, I mean, yes, it does seem sort of odd that especially for teams that have got a lot to be playing for, coaching searches going on, but I mean, it is what it is.
And you can't look, it's a year to year business now more than ever. And I mean, I would just take it as a compliment if teams want to steal your coach and hope that your administration can hold on to him after the season's over.
Yeah.
But you know, like nothing's, I mean, we dealt with this a little bit with Bruce Pearl, where there would be seasons where it's like Auburn's winning a lot, but there are these superpowers that need a coach, and they could think that Bruce Pearl is the right answer, and is Auburn going to be able to lure him away from a Kentucky or a Indiana or a UCLA or whatever it's like. But you can't let that ruin the season you're having right now. And that's something that's happened. Like, teams have run into that before.
Oh,
people
yes.
thought, hey,
yeah.
I want to say even Lane Kiffin has had seasons where it's like.
Looked like it last year. Last year, I mean, Ole Miss was in a very similar position. Now, things started falling. This thing started falling off the tracks a little bit before now. But, I mean, there was talk about, there were talk about Lane looking at different places.
The year Auburn was searching for Harsin's replacement was the year that it was really, like, I believe Ole Miss collapsed down the stretch.
Yeah, lost like three straight.
And there were folks who thought that, the buzz around Lane Kiffin maybe going somewhere else caught up to the team. And you want to fight that off because you'd hate to, like, these seasons are special.
Yeah.
And you don't want to squander it. You don't want to let it slip through your fingers because you were thinking about the future instead of the task at hand.
And it affects you guys. I'm telling you, you say, well, I'm focused on this. I'm not going anywhere. Kids nowadays with the social media, it's out there. Mm-hmm. They see it. You can talk to your blue in the face. I'm not going anywhere. But, they always have that doubt. And they can disrupt a great chemistry. And like you said, Dan, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. That's where we are now in football.
I keep thinking about in Auburn's coaching search, and we'll see where it ends up.
Bring up the question you asked during the break. I mean, about the possibility of a James Franklin, because that would be a completely, completely different kind of hire than we've ever seen at Auburn.
Yeah, hard to find a comparison. Like, I know James Franklin's name has picked up steam in recent days as a candidate at Auburn, and it's like it's just like having a coach who succeeded like he did at Penn State recently, but you have the questions about the big games. You have the questions about some of the puzzling losses. Mm-hmm. It felt like a lot of his tenure was sort of turbulent, right? Where it's like, is he on thin ice? Are they happy with the job he's doing? Like, it's I don't know. Where are you on James Franklin's candidacy?
I don't know. Again, I guess I get stuck sometimes on fit. I just don't know. I don't know that James Franklin is just feels like a good fit at Auburn.
I think your reservation, not to put words in your mouth here, I think your reservation is his record in big games. Isn't it? It's like, I mean, you look at when he played ranked teams, which
yes.
wasn't all that often at Penn State.
No, you're right. I mean, Penn State has been fortunate. Their Big Ten schedule has not had them playing the toughest schedule year in, year out. And they've had that proclivity it's a great thing to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. But you need to beat some of those teams that you need to beat to be the conference champ.
Yeah, he lost his job when he stopped beating teams he was supposed to beat
right.
this year. But the problem of not beating a peer, not beating a
right.
team that you're supposed to like. Yeah. I mean, whether it's Oregon or Ohio State
or Michigan.
Yeah, his record in those games, that's comparable to like towards the end. Gus Malzahn's win-loss record at Auburn looked
yep.
pretty good, but people would point out, well, what's your record in your last 10 or 15 against Bama, Georgia, and LSU?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it doesn't look as impressive.
No, absolutely.
And with Franklin, I think it's I mean, if you think he can win, I mean, he's you don't want to discount the success he did have.
No, not at all.
At Penn State.
Would be a whole like you were saying during the break. To me, it's like that's a whole lot better than what Auburn's had for the last few years. Easily,
if you're talking about a guy who's going to win everything but your big rivalry.
Well,
games.
I mean, you look at his overall record. His record's 128-60, so that means you're 8-4. That's pretty much what you're talking about. 8-4 every year beats the crap out of what Auburn's had, but 8-4 is not what I don't think that's what John Cohen and what Auburn fans are hoping that the next coach is going to be able to do.
Is there reason to believe with James Franklin that he would do better at Auburn than he did at Penn State.
It's hard for me to believe that. Hard for me to believe that he would, because this conference is deeper.
Top to
there
bottom.
There are more tough games on a year in and year out basis.
Yeah, that would be my big question there. Yeah. Like, is there, like, because with Eli Drinkwitz, just using another candidate, just throwing it out there. Eli Drinkwitz, you can also question the record in big games. You can also question when they're playing the best teams in the SEC, how often do they win those games? When you know the biggest games he's coached at Missouri the last couple of years, what's happened in them? That's fair. I think there's reason to believe a coach could do better at Auburn than at Missouri. Like there are reasons
I agree with that.
There are reasons to think a coach could show up at Auburn and do better. I don't know if that's true about Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know if you could say, well, if he did this at Penn State, he'll do better at Auburn. But no, it does make sense to go, if he did this at Missouri, then he should be able to do even better at Auburn.
Even Ole Miss.
Yeah.
If you want to say, hey, the coach is doing this at Ole Miss, imagine what happens with Auburn. Like that was the argument. That was one of the arguments behind Hugh Freeze, was the thinking, well, look what he was able to do with Ole Miss resources.
Well, it's because you saw what happened with Tubbs.
Yeah. Give him Auburn resources and see what happens. Yep. And I think just between those two candidates. And if you want to lump Clark Lee in there too, right? I mean, Vanderbilt's probably another one where you could say he did this at Vanderbilt. Imagine what he could do with.
I still want to see. I'd like to have a little more data. I mean, I want to see.
Are
what
you
happens.
Hiring Gene Chizik in 2011?
If you hire
Clark Lee
after Cam was there, because it's not just it's Diego Pavia, it's Eli Stowers. I mean, it's that whole New Mexico connection has been fabulous, and maybe it will carry over. Maybe it will. And Clark Lee is very impressive, and he's been a solid defensive coach, but I still think it's yet to be determined. You know, are they going to be able to maintain after they lose that very special quarterback? And we've talked about it. I mean, having a super or a just a next level quarterback can carry the whole team, can lift that whole team up.
And I think you're out of legal options. I don't think Pavi is coming with
him. No, I don't think he's getting another year.
I think that's over. Yeah, I think he's got to go to the senior tour now after this, which is the next step in college
football,
right?
Any of his brothers? Any of his brothers got any eligibility?
See if there's
another
one.
That's a big crowd.
Eli Stowers is the one that I'd be calling about.
No
too.
Kidding.
I mean, my God, that's a pro.
He's going to be the first tight end taken in the draft.
Auburn, you know, if he's not, it'll be Trigg from Baylor.
Yeah.
Who we saw earlier this season. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think there's a chance Auburn saw the two best tight ends in college football.
No doubt.
Like in their nine games this season. Ten games this season. Like, incredible to think that that's sort of, you know, the luck of the draw there, if you want to call it the luck of the draw. No, but I mean, just talking about James Franklin a little bit, like I can understand why you look at James Franklin's record at Penn State and at Vanderbilt and say, this is a guy who can come in and turn the tide of a losing program. But I can also understand why someone would look at, especially at a place like Auburn or Florida or LSU, and say, do we offer him a better situation? Do we offer him more to work with than he had at Penn State, where the results were ultimately unacceptable for the Penn State people? And that was when he was a decade younger too, right? Like that's I mean, I don't know how I don't know how important. That's a question I was thinking about. How important is age in this coaching search to John Cohen? Do you think he's thinking he'd rather have a coach in his 40s, or he'd rather, because I also wonder if this is a 3 to 5 year thing where, hey, maybe, you know, if you think Auburn can win now or soon, the coach can be
then
in
what
his
does 60s. It matter?
Yeah, the coach can be in his 60s, and it could be it could still work out.
Yeah. That's good. I don't know that anybody has asked John Cohen
that's
that.
That's a great question.
Because you know who would
I mean, used to, that used to be one of the big things. You'd like someone who you're thinking, oh, they could be here for a decade or more.
Right.
You can't count on anybody for a decade
or
more
nowadays.
I'll tell you, Coach, I've mentioned him. I think there's a coach I really like, but the number one strike against him is that he will be 66 when next year starts, and it's Willie Fritz. Like, I think that guy, look at his record. Like, Willie Fritz just wins. And it's over and over again where Willie Fritz shows up somewhere and has a middling first year, and by the time he's leaving, they're really good. And he's won, what, 8 Coach of the Year awards in his career at different places in different seasons? Mm. I mean, he's 65. He'll be 66 before next year starts.
Right.
They were bad at Houston last year, and now they're 8-2, yeah. 9-2. Like, I mean, this Tulane. Guy. I mean, Tulane, where I mean, John Summerall's doing great at Tulane, taking over for something that Willie Fritz really got rolling.
Right.
Like, that's a really, really good coach. That
yeah, he is.
Some, like, I mean, I think that's a winner who
I didn't even think about him, but he is a great coach.
And he's maybe yeah, maybe the fact that he's going to be 66 when next year starts would
yeah, give, that probably I'm sure that is
would give some people pause. But mm-hmm. that dude is a. I mean, what winners win, right, Coach?
And that's
and
right.
That's a guy who finds a way to win no matter what.
That's right.
All right, we'd love for you to join us. What are your thoughts on the coaching search? Love to talk some basketball with you.
I should have asked Cohen that age question.
Auburn. Yeah,
better than that stupid quarterback one I asked him.
dang it.
Talk about Auburn. And speaking of Houston, Auburn and Houston basketball on Sunday. We'll take a look at the games tomorrow. There's some really interesting college football games on tap for tomorrow as well. But love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to
NAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Yeah, we're talking about coaching things there during the break. You know, back to something we mentioned a little while ago. Kane Womack does make sense at Arkansas since he's an Arkansas guy, and that mm-hmm. is along the path where Jason Caldwell has been saying Barry Lunny Jr. because yeah. he's an Arkansas guy. Well, that's where I think that same line of thought sort of makes sense for Arkansas.
You've also heard Malzahn's name mentioned in that
yeah.
search too, which you know we'll see if Arkansas would want to you know go.
I mean, early on you heard Ritz, but I think
back to the future.
Yeah,
with you know what? But Womack with Malzahn as OC, I think you could maybe sell as like
wow.
The Arkansas connection maybe there. You know, that's two.
Yeah, Florida State's had a really good offensive year.
Two guys with roots, and we'll see if Malzahn stays at Florida State and if he's just happy there. Or
yeah,
if, or we'll, whatever's going on there at Florida State, right? With some of the games, you know. But no, I think those are yeah. Some of we haven't talked as much about the Arkansas search, Florida and LSU and Auburn.
I mean, obviously, with all the craziness that's been going on at Baton Rouge, haven't really heard that much. There hasn't been as much buzz.
This
there was
week
early.
Kinda,
well, I mean, there was early, yeah. and then all of a sudden, the governor and no,
everybody's
and
fighting.
He's fired. No, he's not. He's not terminated.
We're not going to pay him. We are going
to
pay him.
All that other stuff has got to be something that coaches and their agents are going. Let's just wait a little bit and see how everything settles there yeah. in Baton Rouge.
The collection of former Georgia Southern coaches, because I mentioned Willie Fritz in the last segment, and like the names when you just look at like guys who have been the head coach at Georgia. I mean, first of all, you got two Auburn guys really early in their history.
Kirk Russell's the guy that started their program,
and Tim Stowers followed
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Those two Auburn guys. Del McGee was also the interim coach for a game.
Yeah, hadn't heard much talk about Dell this year.
No,
hasn't been a great
year.
I'll
tell you what, if Dell were winning at Georgia State,
oh yeah,
if this thing had worked when Del McGee got the Georgia State job, I really think
who else on his staff is?
I think
is Damian on his staff?
I think he'd be a strong candidate at Auburn if this had worked at Georgia State. It's not working this year, unfortunately, which makes it tougher. But Brian Van Gorder was interim coach
wow.
at one point.
Yep.
Paul Johnson, of course, was there
yep.
for a long time.
Yep.
Chad Lunsford, current Auburn special teams coach,
right?
Was there for 4 years as the head coach. Willie Fritz, Jeff Munkin, who I think is an outstanding head coach. He's at Army
right
now, but he was a winner at Georgia Southern before that. Mm. I don't know. Like it's tough to at the marquee places. It's tough to sell Jeff Munkin as the answer. I think Arkansas could do a lot worse. I think Oklahoma State could do a lot worse.
That's a team we hadn't even talked about in months.
Keep forgetting Gundy.
Oh,
got,
yeah.
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 Poor old Oklahoma State.
By the way, you're not hearing his name for any
no.
of these jobs. There's no, there's no selling Gundy to fan bases.
He needs to go to his ranch or whatever.
Or TV.
Yeah.
I think he'd be
yeah,
fine
he'd
on
be
the
a nut job.
Put him on yeah. the yeah, put him next to Urban Meyer on
yeah.
the on the Fox panel and let
yeah.
them have fun.
Hey,
but, UCLA could do a lot worse than Jeff Munkin. Like you go coach, you know, like these are some good coaches out there.
I was just looking at the Georgia State staff. There are a couple of blasts from the past. I mean, yeah, Damian Craig is the
I thought Damian was
receivers
there.
Coach for Dell. You know who their running backs coach is? And here's one recruiting fans will remember this one. Enrique Davis.
Oh, Enrique Davis.
Yeah.
Former Auburn commit.
From Northwest Florida.
Ole Miss running back.
Yeah.
Junior college product, right?
Oh, yeah.
All, like, that was a – I remember a lot of Enrique Davis questions leading up to
the
season he didn't show up. Yep. Like that's what I seem to remember about Enrique Davis. Good to see he landed on his feet.
Again, they're not having the best year.
Yeah, but he's got a job. That's
for the time being.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
We're approaching the end of hour number one. We've got another hour to go. Again, we'll take a look at college football games on tap for tomorrow. Love to hear your thoughts on, how are you feeling about the coaching search? Who do you have at the top of your list? And obviously some Auburn-Houston basketball in that big matchup on Sunday. That and more as we head into hour number two here on the Monday. Excuse me. It's not Monday. Thank goodness. It's the Friday drive.
Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday drive. Yes, it is Friday. I don't know what happened at the end of the first hour. I said Monday. Yeah, are you crazy?
We unplugged Bill and plugged him back in during the commercial
reboot
break.
Reboot me. Or boot me. I mean, you can just boot me. You always hear reboot. It's like, you got to boot it first. But, it's hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Love for you to join in. Don't forget high school football coming up tonight. We've mentioned it a couple of times. Both Auburn and Lee Scott on the road. The Tigers are down in South Alabama taking on Daphne. That is a 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kick on Wings 94.3.
That's Jacob and Rob and Jack doing the call tonight. You can catch that on wingsfm.com if you're not in the listening area. I know a lot of folks want to tune in from around the country to hear Auburn High School football.
You can go to radioalabama.net and select. You can listen to either of the broadcasts or go back and forth.
That's right. And Wings is always streaming, by the way. If you ever want to tune in, just see, see which classic hit.
Dan's got the knack for being able to
pretty good
peg.
That's one they played recently.
Peg,
yes, yeah. Steely Dan. Peg, that's a good one. But the check out wingsfm.com or wings94.3 for Auburn High and Daphne. Lee Scott at Montgomery Academy tonight in the 3A second round. That is on auhits.com, AU100.3. Christian Griffin, along with Rhett, are going to be on the call for that one. So some big high school football on the airwaves tonight.
Second round and an opportunity, an opportunity if you get a win, very likely to be able to play at home again next
and
week.
And a possibility against Opelika.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
All right, we talked more about the college football, some of the openings and some of the rumblings here over the last 24 hours. This is that time. Look, nobody's about to be announcing a new head coach.
No.
And there are interviews, discussions going on, and each day it feels like there's another name or two that is the hot name of the day.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was saying, there'd been some buzz about Lincoln Riley the day before. Lincoln Riley, Don, is a guy that it was a huge, huge hire for Southern Cal when they were able to pluck him away from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I remember.
And he's done okay, but not exactly what Southern Cal was looking for. But right. I think Lincoln Riley is looking to get out of Southern Cal. That, now that they're in the Big Ten.
They're traveling all over the world.
Yeah, it's you're not playing in the same region.
No, the same teams.
No, that's got to be very difficult.
Yeah.
So don't be shocked if Lincoln Riley
moves on
from Southern Cal after this year.
Yeah. Got a couple of good games tonight, like we were talking
earlier.
Oh, you
do have one that's really, really interesting, that Louisville-Clemson game.
Yeah, at Louisville, a lot of pressure, a lot of disappointment for getting beat last week at home.
And I hate to put everything through the lens of a coaching search. People have talked about Brohm, right? I mean, Jeff Brohm was one of the first names that I think David Pollack said that was the first guy Florida should call in his mind. Wow. I know there are some LSU people that think that Jeff Brohm at LSU, just because of his knack for putting offense together, would be able to, like, Jeff Brohm and a quality defensive coordinator would represent a brighter future than what LSU has had the last few years. But he's another guy like Clark Lee, like Kenny Dillingham. You're talking about like Brent Key. You're talking about trying to poach
at his alma mater, not just at his alma mater. I mean, Don, you know this.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up there.
Yeah,
his
went to
family,
high school there.
His dad coached there. His brothers, yeah. He and his brothers.
The Brom family is well known in Louisville. And like I told y'all the other day, his sister is the best athlete in the family.
Wow.
Volleyball, basketball. But yeah, they're a Louisville. They're an old Louisville family. You know, mm-hmm. Jeff's not a big, I don't know how to put this. He's not a glamour money type guy. He was driving an old beat up car at Purdue, and people just couldn't believe it. Lived in a very small house. He's not one of, even at Western. Of course, he wasn't making the money at
right.
in Western Kentucky. But I would be shocked if he would leave. But again, who knows? And if they lose a couple more games, he might say, "Well, I better get out of here." But you know. And then we were talking, you know, unfortunately, they had those death threats. It's been a weird week in Louisville.
See, I had not heard about that.
His family was threatened. They arrested a guy in Texas, the quarterback, and a couple of other assistants. So, to me, that's a gambling situation.
Was this after their loss?
Yes, last week after their loss at home to Cal.
Somebody had a lot of money on
And so, you know, some nutcase. So, it's been an unusual week in Louisville, plus a Friday night game. They had the terrible plane crash right next to the stadium at UPS. So there's a lot riding on this game tonight.
Coach, I am officially at the point where my stance is please don't gamble on sports. Because you see what people are and people are going to do it anyway.
And baseball this week.
I'm begging you. Like please don't. Like, you know, it's just because it feels like there's the like we ask the question a lot. Like, what could go wrong? Feels like a lot. Feels like a lot in a lot of different directions.
Is
going wrong there. But or how about this? Please play responsibly. Like, I don't know. And I don't think reaching out to the athletes after the game constitutes responsible gambling. Yeah. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's scary.
It is, it doesn't seem like it's going
slacking off.
It don't seem like it's going away. No.
I mean, you know, every advertisement's about gambling. On Saturday and Sunday.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. We've got calls holding. Like, who got up first?
All those ads say you can win all that money, too, but they seem to keep finding ways to
they're still to building those time. Buildings.
Yeah.
And,
you know, for a business about giving money to people, it sure seems like a lot of people want to be in the want to get into that.
Who we got?
We got Philly.
Hey, Philly Fanatic. Are you there?
Hey, bud. Philly.
Hey, it's James.
Oh, James, what's up?
Oh, sorry.
We lost Philly.
Hey, James.
Hey. So, real quick, I'm going to make some quick talks about a few things. I don't know if you guys got to see the interview with John Cohen the other day that Mike Gidden did on the War Report. But if anybody's listening to this show, you'll need to go watch that interview because he said a lot without saying a lot, if you know what I mean. It was a really interesting interview.
Yeah, John has been, he hasn't been shy about talking with folks here during the coaching search as busy as he's been spending time with coaches.
I just found that really interesting. And then I've seen a couple different reports where DJ Durkin has told recruits that, hey, don't worry about the future. I'm not going anywhere. Call me crazy, but I feel like there are things that we're not in the know right now that other people do know. And
well, I'm sure of that.
If that's the case, I'm fine with that. You know,
well,
let's go, you know. But I don't know. I kind of curious to find out what y'all's thoughts, who you think the leading candidate is. I know, Bill, I agree with you. Like, it seems like at the start it was like the first week we had a couple names, and this week it seems like we've had a different name every week, or every day, I should say, this week. So what do y'all think is the leading candidate? So,
I mean, I feel like it's been hard to move Sumrall out of the top tier since this started. Now, does that mean he's the leader? I don't know, but I would say he's the guy that's been most consistently like on the short lists when we talk to folks. The other candidates, I mean, earlier in the search, it felt like you heard names like Kenny Dillingham and Eli Drinkwitz and Rhett Lashley, people who had Auburn connections.
Right.
they seem to have not so much with Eli. It feels like Eli's maybe still, you know, in the mix for jobs, but the other two guys seem to have made
you
commitments.
haven't heard as much.
Well, Rhett signed the contract extension.
He did, but I mean,
and you're not really seeing in college football. You're not seeing coach sign a new contract and then take a new job 4 weeks later. Like I know. Like I think guys are signing these contracts with the understanding I'm off the market this offseason. Like if you sign a contract extension with a school, and then 5 weeks later you leave. Like I think you're playing games with your reputation at that point. I'd be stunned to see Rhett Lashley leave for another job after signing a new contract. I don't know if Dillingham got a new contract or just made public sort of statements that. His situation's a little different, right? Mm-hmm. But like Cignetti or Rhett Lashley, like these guys that have gotten new contracts, I think you can safely move them off the board as candidates for this looming search. But we've heard more, like this week, it's been more.
Oh, there have been quite a few more names. I mean, you know, P.J. Fleck was mentioned. I mentioned, you know, Lincoln Riley, but Clark Lee, James Franklin.
Clark Lee and Brent Key have been candidates from the beginning.
Yes,
I feel like they've been,
right.
And they've been lumped in together as line of scrimmage guys coaching at their alma maters that could maybe bring some sort of, you know, bring some relief to Auburn. Pascal always says with Clark Lee, like, so many promises were made between Clark Lee and Vanderbilt to give Clark Lee what he wants and to put him in position to build a winner, including the stadium renovations, that I think there'd be a pretty heavy sense. Pascal gives off the opinion that there'd be some pretty strong feelings of betrayal from Vanderbilt to Clark Lee if Clark Lee were to leave. I don't know if that means, but could he still be?
But that doesn't mean he won't. That's sort of like we're talking about how are Ole Miss people going to feel if Lane leaves, because they have given him, you know, time after time what he has asked for.
And I said earlier in the show, I think it's fair to with James Franklin, it's fair to wonder if James Franklin can do better at Auburn than he can do at Penn State with everything that Penn State provided him, and he still couldn't beat most of the good teams on their schedule. I think it's a different situation when you're talking about Vanderbilt's coach or Ole Miss's coach or Missouri's coach or Tulane's coach as far as what they did there and what Auburn could potentially provide instead.
Who do you think who do you think or who do you like?
I mean, I like all the candidates I've heard. I don't really have an issue with any of them. I know Eli Drinkwitz's personality's not really charismatic. He's kind of a closed guy in that sense. But I think it's somewhere in between Summerall, Brent Key, and Kenny Dillingham. I keep going back to those. I think it's one of those three. If it's not, it's somebody that I don't know who it is. And if that's the case, I don't think any of us know who it is at that point. So it just seems very interesting to me because of the things that Cohen said about he had already interviewed several coaches.
Right.
And, you know, that was just really, really interesting. And you got to think, too, with LSU's dumpster fire over there, and I keep hearing rumors from Arkansas that Jerry Jones is having a fit because he wants Bobby Petrino as head coach. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I think that's funny that they said Ed Orgeron's candidate for the job. I'm like, this is getting
Ed's looking to get back in coaching. The name actually we were talking about a little while ago is Kane Womack, who's Alabama's defensive coordinator, who played at Arkansas and then was the head coach at South Alabama before he went to Alabama under DeBoer.
See, Bill, that makes more sense to me as Arkansas's next head coach.
Yeah.
That's like a no-brainer for me. Like, I see that, and that's like, okay, I get that. This other stuff, that sounds like crazy talk, you know. Not saying that Ed Orgeron's not a good coach, but the Jerry Jones, Bobby Petrino thing, that just sounds like toxic. I don't want to hear any of that. You know, that's got to go, you know.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm telling you, crazy things go on.
I say that about Jerry, so, you know, I'm sorry I turned on my own fan base, you know. Just
really?
Jerry's crazy, so.
Yep. You know. Hey, it's good stuff. Good. Great hearing
Thanks,
from
guys.
You. Yeah. 334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline. Want to get to our first break, or do we get one more call? We'll go ahead and get to our first break. And, well, we just lost a call, so Come on in and join us here on The Friday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
This is Lee County Revenue Commissioner Olene Price. When we have the opportunity to assist residents of this county, we are pleased to offer options in an effort to make your business.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And let's get back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
Philly.
Yeah. I want to talk about Auburn basketball. They're 2 days away from playing the number one team in the nation, whereas Auburn's football coach is probably 2 weeks away.
That's right.
Because there's so many variables that could happen, whether Auburn wins the next two games or some of these other teams win or lose.
Right.
Anything could happen. So I think we should talk more. Well, anyway, I'm more interested in basketball at this point. So I want to say something about Keyshawn Hall. You know, he was 4 assists away from a triple-double. Mm-hmm. And there's only 3 other players, actually 4, that got triple-doubles. Bill, do you know the first player at Auburn who got the first triple-double?
For some crazy reason, I'm thinking it was like Frank Poindexter. I have no idea. I'm trying.
Okay, I was there at that game. It was 2012. It was Kenny Gabriel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was there.
Okay, well, he's been bounced around in Europe for a number of years. He's almost identical size. It's 6'9", 218. He's pretty close to what Keyshawn Hall is.
Keyshawn's a lot thicker than Kenny Gabriel was.
Well, okay. So anyway, it was against Bethune-Cookman. Kenny got 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 block shots. And that's a lot. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
The other three that – you know who the other three are, Bill?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think of guys who –
okay,
but obviously, you've given us a hint that the first one was in 2012.
Yeah. So it's probably the three best basketball players that ever played at Auburn. Could you throw out those three names?
Well, the three best that ever played would go back. There'd be some that played before 2012, but the three best since.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, there's definitely all three of them played before 2012. Gabriel was 2000. Oh no, that's wrong. I'm wrong on that. They have here Charles Barkley, Chuck Pearson,
Person,
and Eddie Johnson.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that Kenny was the first. He was the last then.
Last.
Right? Oh,
right.
Okay.
Pardon me.
It'd be hard for me to argue that those three, Charles, Chuck, and Fast Eddie, weren't three of the best all time that ever played at Auburn. So. Yeah, that makes sense. Eddie's would have been an assist. Charles would have been in blocks, I would guess. And Chuck was his in blocks? Did he have 10 assists?
I would think so. I mean, see, there's so many things. There's blocks, assists, you know, basketball.
Right.
It's definitely scoring. And definitely rebounds.
Right.
So the other one you throw
points,
in there,
points, rebounds, and usually it's assists or blocks. So I never knew Chuck had 10 assists. I don't remember Chuck giving it up that much when he had an opportunity to shoot.
Well, you know, Keyshawn Hall, he doesn't pass all that much either, and they need him to score.
Yeah, it was really neat that he led the team in assists the other night with 6.
Yep. Yeah, that is incredible. But it's going to be a monumental effort Auburn's going to have to
have
in order to beat Houston, really. I mean, they're not number one for nothing.
No.
But, you know, Auburn have the hometown advance there, so maybe that might help them.
Yeah, they're sure counting on it. I mean, it's definitely going to be an Auburn crowd.
Yeah, no question. Okay, that's basically, you know, going back to the football coach. I mean, people can throw out 4 names now, 5
yeah.
names now, and next week there'll be 8 names. And 2,
what to watch for is the name or 2 that is always in that list, always in that group,
yeah.
because it seems
right.
like there's 3 or 4 names, but there's usually one that's a constant.
Yeah, no question. And you know, Durkin, if he could beat Alabama, I mean, there'd be a lot of people calling for him.
Oh, there definitely will.
Okay, that's basically all I have to say.
Right.
And, you know, the baby Tigers aren't on TV this week, I don't think. I mean, last week
it was great last week to be able to watch them. It really was.
Yeah. The other team there, Daphne, they're 9-2, and they've got a strong offense. So it's going to be a tough one for mm-hmm. them. But I think if they win and Opelika beats Baker, we could have a rematch there at the Duck.
Yeah, how about that? Nice. That would be great.
Because I think Auburn only beat them by 1 point.
Yes. I think that goes. Yeah, they did.
All right. Well, that's all I have to say.
All right, man. Good Bye. Hearing from you. 334-321-1390. And who have we got up next?
Who's up?
Oh, I'm Susan.
Susan, that's right.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Great. I'm going to hang up and listen. My first question is about DJ Durkin. With the money that assistant coaches are making now, like generational wealth, maybe some people don't want to be a head coach. Maybe they want to have a quality of life. And they're very good at what they do. He has been a head coach before. Maybe he's happy being on staff because they do make a lot of money now, not like the 80s.
Oh, no. DJ Durkin is one of, if not the highest paid defensive coordinators in the country. He's making $2.5 million, I believe, here at Auburn.
Yeah,
now he has said, though, he would love to be the head coach, but I think he's also let it be known that if that doesn't work out, he and his family are very happy here, and he'd be more than happy to stay on in the right circumstances.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that because, you know, when we hired Pat Dye, he didn't really make, I think it was $100,000 a year, and
right.
the assistants were paid nothing. But I always remember we all thought we were going to get Vince Dooley, but he stayed in Athens because his family was there. They grew mm-hmm. up there. Sometimes family and where you are.
No question.
Also, I live in Dallas, and I'm going to tell you, Rhett Lashley, there's no way he's coming. They're very, very happy here. And he's from Arkansas, which is 5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So they've become really entrenched here in the community. So, I mean, maybe he will. I don't know. But, boy, I'll tell you, SMU, they treat him real good.
Has taken care of Rhett and his family.
Oh,
we were talking about him a little while ago.
Yeah, very, very nicely. And the third thing is, with the NIL money, and I'm not familiar with this, do universities have a max they can spend? Because, I mean, places like A&M, Texas, I mean, they're brilliant. Can each university spend more to get players to come? Because right now it's not so much about the education like the old days where you had to worry about grades, keeping them on the team, or, if you couldn't give them nothing. Now it's like free agency in the NFL, and I'll hang up. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Susan. And, no, I don't think they're – I mean, that's one of the things that some coaches – I remember Nick Saban talking about this, too, before he retired, is putting in a ceiling. But there is not right now. There is a minimum. And, the schools have agreed on $20.5 million, and $2.5 million of that is going toward scholarships for, fund the more scholarships for other sports. But I don't believe there is a ceiling, and that's one of the things where Auburn right now feels like they're in very good position. The deal they made, which I know John Cohen said, he understands how people feel about that, moving that Baylor game to Atlanta, but how much that is bringing in, figured the minimum $4 million, but more likely closer to $8 million on top of what Auburn's NIL situation already is right now. And that's where Auburn feels like they're in very good position to be able to compete with anybody's NIL. So I wouldn't be surprised, but have not, haven't really seen a push for there to be a ceiling placed on NIL. Have you, Dan?
No, I don't think that. The thinking was, right, that the $20.5 million was supposed to be the cap, but now that they've shown that they're not really going to regulate collectives, the belief is that rosters
right.
are, the football teams, especially big-time football programs, are spending a lot more than that. I don't know exactly the machinations of, how a university funnels money from its endowment to, the NIL collectives or whatever to turn that. Like, I don't know how you turn that money into your football roster. But clearly some people have figured it out, right? Because you look at some of these rosters and some of these basketball rosters and you think, yeah.
Well, you're hearing comments from some coaches that are just sort of matter-of-factly saying, The football roster next year is probably going to be in the $30 million range. So it's like I'm telling you, no, that they're not capping it at 18. Mm-hmm. If that's what it's taking to, you know, you for you to feel like you can field a team that can compete for a national title, to compete in the playoffs, it's going to take something in that range. That's just mind-boggling. It sounds like monopoly money to me, Don.
Yeah, it's like play money, they say. Yeah, I don't know where we're going. I mean, but I'm like you. I mean, the sky's the limit for some of these teams. You know, they can afford it. They got the base, the alumni. And
what you better do is, I mean,
you better win.
That's it, because you don't know if that's going to be a never ending supply.
Exactly.
You know, you feel like it may run out.
Yeah.
And hope you win before it runs out.
Yeah.
Because if you win, that'll help replenish.
Right. Right.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll start taking a look at some of the big games around the country in college football tomorrow. Obviously, would love to hear from you if you'd like to talk about anything, college basketball or football, but anything on your mind as we head into the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday edition of the drive. Final half hour here on this Friday evening. Just an hour away from big high school football action.
Yeah, we talked some of the Auburn-Houston game in the opening segment of the show, but that's just a gigantic test for Stephen Pearl and this new look team to go to Birmingham and play number one Houston. Battleground 2K25. ESPN's going to have the game at 2:00. Wings 94.3. We'll have Andy's call.
That's right, starting at 1:30.
Just heard from our pals, Skybar's having a watch party downtown.
Oh, okay.
So if you're looking for somewhere to watch Auburn-Houston on Sunday, they will be open in the front, and they'll have the game on the big screens. A little basketball tailgate on Sunday going on as Auburn and Houston square off. And, yeah, big test for – Keyshawn Hall has been one of the best players in college basketball through the first couple weeks of the season. I know the ESPN index for Player of the Year has got him 4 or 5.
Yeah, right, I saw now. He was like number 4.
Yeah, I mean, I think. And Emmanuel Sharp is also on that list. Like I think he's in the top 5 as well. The senior guard for Houston. So Auburn's going to see. I mean, this is a different kind of test than Auburn's had through these first couple of weeks. I think it's important that Auburn got to play those games rather than open with a team like Houston, work out some kinks. Coach, what's the benefit of, like, especially if you got a whole bunch of new faces? Auburn played a couple of games that. They were against teams that were several tiers below Auburn from a talent standpoint. The benefit of playing a couple of those games before you see the number one team in the country like Auburn's going to see on Sunday.
Oh, I think it's you can't beat the experience. It just helps you in so many ways. You can find out things you need to work on, things you thought you had covered, all game type situations. It's all different from practice. The tempo's different, the speed of the game's different, and the athletes are probably a little better than the guys you scrimmage against. I know they have a lot of walk-on guys and students that they scrimmage against sometimes, but yeah, I think it's, you know, that's why I think it's so important these exhibition games now you can play in
Oklahoma State and Memphis.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, the experience, you can't beat it. And I think it would be good if maybe in football you could have a real spring game against another opponent. Mm-hmm. I know that's been talked about. But, see, in football you just go into that first game. A lot of unknowns.
You know what I think might be the move in football would be, especially now that you're in the 12 game, you know, with the 9-game conference, what about an exhibition?
You've already heard the push Hugh Freeze, but Hugh wasn't the only one talking about OTAs. If you're not, just do away with the spring
practice
and then start in the summer and have an exhibition game.
And I wonder how many schools wouldn't mind being able to pay an FCS team or a D2 team to come in and be your exhibition
opponent. Make up now where you're having to play so many P4 games, you know, go ahead and have a moneymaker for those like in-state schools or something. And don't worry about the record or whatever. Just go ahead and get out there and play it.
Yeah, let Alabama State come in. And, you know, it's a moneymaker for them. It's useful for both football teams.
It's great for the small schools, yes.
You know, and you just
and they should make it where you have to play your own in-state school. You can't go play like Eastern Kentucky.
Well, let's make it where it's it's saving money everywhere. Travel and then making money.
Yeah, just play. Yeah, exactly.
Well, there are so many. Most of these D1 programs have a school down the road.
Oh yeah,
right. There are some.
Kentucky could play Western. Auburn could play, you know, Troy.
Yeah, even if every D1 school wanted to do it, and it's like Troy could invite an FCS team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, Bama State. That could
makes
come
more
in for
sense.
Auburn.
That's what I would do if I was Troy.
Because you've got, in the state, you've got Alabama A&M.
Yeah, South Alabama. You got some good programs.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some good ones, and even some good non D1s, right? That are.
Right.
That are potentially out there.
Yeah, but back to your question, it's just I think it's awesome that you can play, you know, and supposedly beat. You get to play a real game, real crowd, and it counts when you win. But the experience, you can't beat it.
Well, and the other thing is it depends on the kind of team that you have. When you got a team like Auburn has this year, where you had one player returning, you want to play a couple of those other games or play a few of those games before you really jump in there. Now, there's some teams that would hesitate to even play a number one team when they have so many new players. If they knew they're going to have that many new players on their roster, they might want to just – play as easy a schedule as possible, but you've seen it come back and bite some teams, you know, bite some SEC teams. Ole Miss, you know, I think of, remember, Dan, the start that they got off to, but they weren't playing anybody. And then your RPI, your strength of schedule, ends up biting you when you don't win enough conference games. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Bruce and now Stephen Pearl realize is you've got to play those games. Like Justin Ferguson was saying yesterday, you know, with these six or seven games that Auburn has against really top quality non-conference teams, if you win a couple of them, it's going to end up benefiting you in the long run.
Yes, for sure.
And this is the first of those games for Auburn and Houston, and maybe the toughest of all of them. Like all things considered, Houston is you know, a lot of folks think they are the team that's going to win the championship this year. You know, I made the comparison to last year's Auburn team. Like it's great to have a great team. Like if you got one of the 10 most talented teams in college basketball, that's great. But if it's a bunch of guys that weren't on the same team last year, the season could be an adventure as they learn to play with each other. That's Arkansas and Kentucky have had Duke. They've had really talented teams, but the whole season has been about those guys learning to play together. Yeah. Houston isn't learning to play together. Like those guys, they bring back enough minutes from last year.
They're well experienced.
Yeah, they're like, you know, James Brown's backup dancers, right? Like every single one of them hit in the right spot at the right time, and if you mess that up, you don't get to be there.
Yeah, I saw the
Fabulous Flames.
That's right. They're playing defense like the Fabulous Flames every step.
Yeah, the old coach from Oakland who beat Kentucky a couple years ago played Houston the other night, and he said he was so impressed. They're up by 30. And they're diving on the floor for balls. They're diving out of bounds, going over the scorers table. That's scary.
Yeah, well, that's what.
Well, they don't want to be in the film room.
Right.
Called out.
He's tough.
Yes.
He doesn't play.
And that's what Kevin Overton was talking about when he was saying, you know, they're telling his teammates, you got to be ready for 40 physical, intense minutes.
It's like the old Arkansas, 40 minutes of hell.
And I'll tell you what's got me concerned. I think if Auburn can play fast and loose and get some points on the board, Houston might be uncomfortable in this one. I don't think Houston wants to play a game in the 80s or the 90s against Auburn. They'd much rather have the winning team have, you know, 70 points in this one, or if that, you know, 65 maybe. Auburn cannot be reckless in the half court. Houston will turn you over, and it'll be
You're
points
right
the other way.
That.
And if those passes are lackadaisical, right? Like if it's not crisp, it'll go the other way. Houston will turn a steal into a basket on the other side, and they will wear out the bottom of their shoes, like just going up and down the floor against all. So that's where, and that's on Tahad, but that's on everybody. I mean, that's on Keyshawn Hall. Like that's on, and that's where that's kind of scary to have a team full of new players, again, talented players, but the thought of a team full of new players going against Houston's defense four games into the season, mm-hmm. right, where it's suddenly like these guys are going to have, because Houston is a team that will, Houston does not need your help on Sunday, but if you help them, if you help Houston with turnovers and with unforced errors, you won't be celebrating on Sunday because you beat the number one team in the country.
Yeah, no question.
What a celebration it could be.
Oh, it would be tremendous to be able to do that. But don't be just completely ruined and the season's over if you don't win against Houston. I mean, the thing is right now, got to find out where they are, how they stand, and one of the things for me is, man, I hope Keyshawn Murphy is healthy. I think he is a big, big factor, could be a big key in that ball game. Keyshawn be a big key. I mean, because Houston is a they're just a bigger team than Auburn is, and they're gonna need Keyshawn to be able to battle in there on the boards. You're talking about rebounding a little earlier. I mean, Auburn thus far has dominated the backboards in the first few ball games. It's going to be much more difficult against Houston, especially if they don't have Murphy. So they'll need him, and then Mecca Apuram and Philip Jovic are going to have to they're going to have to really battle there on the boards.
Yeah, Murph. It sounds like Murph's going to be able to go, but it's a question of what can you get out of a guy who's missed the last couple of games. You're right. After Murph, Jovic and SWA.
That's true. Yeah,
and I wonder.
Yeah, you're right. Sway is a somebody that's going to, and I expect him to get in there and battle against a lot of guys that he has known for a long time because he's a Houston native.
I had people asking me like what the starting lineup could look like on Sunday with Murph back, and to me, there's four guys that you're definitely starting. And it's Todd Pettiford, Elijah Freeman, and the Keyshawns.
Yes.
And then the question is, what do you need from that fifth spot? Do you want Keyshawn?
I think it's Overton.
Well, that's the question. Is Keyshawn one of your two front court players? In which case, you're going to go Freeman, Overton, Pettiford? Or do you look at Freeman as the three? Do you look at Keyshawn as the three and Freeman as the two?
Right.
In which case, you could be talking about
Sway.
You could be talking about Sway or Jovic as the other guy in the front court. I would think maybe Sway would be the move. That's a question of like what you want that first attack to look like against Houston. What do you need? Do you need that extra muscle, or do you need that extra speed in the backcourt? Overton feels like a guy you can play. He's plug and play. Like it can be off the bench, it can be as a starter. You know where you're going to get out of Kevin Overton, but yeah, that's one of several decisions Steven's got to make before that huge showdown on Sunday.
334-321-1390 and back to the phones and
Pat.
Oh, hey Pat.
Hey guys. Yeah, I think we're going to win this game. I was watching Alabama last night. They don't have a they're down. Their low post is almost non-existent. They're just skinny. They're skinny and they're outside. They don't really want to rebound. They got out rebounded by like 20.
Nelson and Omayuri were huge for Alabama last year, and replacing them in one season is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, because I think the Purdue. I'm more worried about Purdue because they've got a lot of big guys. I think Florida is going to give Alabama trouble as well. But I just feel like.
Purdue and Florida might be the two best front courts in the
Florida's
country.
Florida's going to give everybody
a lot. Those two teams, you better hit the weight room in the front court because those two teams are loaded.
But I think the way we started the lineup last game, we started with Jovic at the five, I think, and then we had Sway, and then the three was Hall. And then Overton came off the bench, and I with Freeman at the two, and I think that's what we're going to do. I think we're going to play. I think we're going to do Murphy at the five, and then Sway to give us the bigger size, And then I think it's going to be Hall and Freeman.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
And I wonder. But look, I'd love to see Jovic play well on Sunday. That's a huge test for a guy making the step up from Europe to D1 basketball and playing. Like, I don't know how many teams like Houston you saw in the former Soviet Union leagues. So it's like I think it's gonna be helpful to have a guy like Jovic there, but you're right. I think you need the muscle of Sway and Keyshawn Hall and you need Murph to bring it because he's.
Yeah.
It's impressive that Auburn's rebounded the way they have without Murph these last couple of games.
Well, I think those three low post guys are going to be the key to winning this game because we got to out muscle them because they're tough and they like to rebound and they're not high scoring. I mean, the games they played three chump games and they. I don't think they scored more than 80. I think 80 was the highest.
No, that's not their thing.
Yeah, they're trying to play like really tough. Like you look at how Houston succeeded in those first three games. Look at the offensive numbers of their opponents, right? Like look at how their opponents shot.
But if your defense is that good and you're playing a chump team, for you not to score 80, that's almost hard to do.
No, they're deliberate. That's the thing. They want to make you work.
I think they do expect the offense to get better. But I think they're calling.
Two of the guys are freshmen. Two of the guys playing the most minutes are freshmen. So they are playing two true freshmen that did not play at all. So I think that they played two of the most minutes of the five of the people that played the most minutes. So
they're counting
on two freshmen.
And they're not very deep. That's the other thing. Like one of the reasons Auburn was able to win that game last year, Pat, was because in the fourth quarter, Auburn was a 9-player rotation, yep. And they'd been leaning on some of their reserves. And in that fourth quarter, those last 10 minutes, Auburn had gas in the tank and Houston didn't. And if Auburn can use their subs and Auburn can use their depth, you would think that Auburn has the chance to surge ahead in those final 10 minutes. The question is Houston going to have imposed their will to that point? And can they play the kind of game where Houston's starters still have some energy left in the fourth quarter? I think Auburn, you're trying to speed this game up and you're trying to force Houston's. You want Houston starters on the bench because they need to catch their breath, and you'd love Houston starters to be spent in that final 8 minutes because they've been on the floor so much.
Yep, sounds great. All right, where we go, guys.
Appreciate the call, Pat. All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us.
Easier said than done with a Houston team that went to the national championship game last year. But
all right, we're back to wrap things up here on the Friday Drive.
At Opelika Power Services, we're more than just your...
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn. And before we take a quick look around college football, one more time, want to mention to you, the Game Day Men's Health is here in Auburn. They're off Morris Mill Road, and they can take care of any of your concerns about, energy, weight loss, low T, ED. I mean, they've got a great staff there that will get with you, go through consultation and your medical history, get some blood work done, and get you back on the fast track, if you will. Great folks, Chad, Aaron, and the folks there at Game Day Men's Health, which is just off Morris Mill Road here in Auburn. All right, as we get wind things down here the last couple of minutes, Don, you mentioned a couple of ball games tonight. We mentioned that Louisville Clemson game,
right?
Minnesota at Oregon, probably. Not going to be the best showcase for P.J. Fleck, who may be looking for a job. Some big ball games around the country tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a couple of big ones in the SEC. Not as many as the last couple of weeks. But
there are a couple of really important ones. I mean,
Oklahoma.
If Oklahoma's going to keep any playoff hopes alive, they need to win. But that ball game in Tuscaloosa.
At 2:30, then you got Florida at Ole Miss, which is a lot of underneath the lying surface. Texas at Georgia, very interesting.
I don't think Texas has a path to finishing in the top 12 with a loss tomorrow. I just don't. Well, you know what?
Well, maybe if they beat A&M.
Beating A&M at 9-3 would help, but then it suddenly turns A&M into a must-win game,
right.
And you'd still be in a beauty pageant with a lot of other teams for those 12. I just wonder if tomorrow's a must-win for Texas.
I think
if
it
they,
feels like it.
It feels like it. And then you've got Georgia too, who could be quietly right there among the best teams in the country.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, they haven't gotten as much hype this year, but they really have played well since that Bama loss.
By the way, Elko could go. He could be 10-0.
Yes,
in year two. I mean, second straight year that A&M in November is
coming from Duke.
And that's a story. I know some folks are making this connection where it's like to go from Jimbo Fisher to Mike Elko and see a significant upgrade in your team's win-loss percentage, like to see the record improve. Like, I mean, Elko's, what, 17-4 at A&M?
Well, I think – don't you think, Don, a lot of it is culture and just, some of the things John Cohen talked about, edge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they do. They play with an edge.
Yeah.
Jimbo, I don't know that Jimbo had control of all of his guys.
No, probably not. That guy has done a great job. He's a tough customer.
And I think there are a lot of Auburn fans that would be kind of underwhelmed by a Mike Elko-esque hire.
Right.
And it's look at A&M after.
Yeah, we're not talking Mike Elko now. Mike Elko before.
He
was coming from
Mike Elko.
I mean,
two years ago, he was a sensible choice. He was a defensive assistant at A&M who'd left and was winning games at Duke, but he didn't
appear to be their top choice at all.
But
though.
Certainly didn't have Jimbo Fisher's track record.
Right,
he didn't have
right.
a similar resume to Jimbo
didn't
Fisher.
Didn't have a national championship.
Didn't have anything like that. But understood A&M and seemingly understood football, and those two things have led them to maybe, I mean, look, they could be in the SEC championship game for the first time ever. They could be in the college football playoff for the first time ever. Like, big things are happening because A&M decided to go with a football coach instead of a celebrity who coaches football. Like, there's probably something of a lesson there.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned the Ole Miss Florida game.
Yeah, that's
it'll be interesting to see. You know, what the crowd is like, that the feeling that there is in Oxford with all the talk of Lane leaving to go across to the other side of the field.
And don't let Florida come in there and upset you.
Oh, man.
They may hang him down on the square.
You may just get on the bus with Florida and
go back
to Gainesville with them.
Two games I'm interested in, Notre Dame and Pittsburgh tomorrow. And then Navy, who's 7-2, and South Florida, 7-2.
Yeah, those are teams that still are hoping they can get in the picture. I know we're running short on time. I want to remind everybody about the high school action coming up tonight over on Wings 94.3. It's Auburn at Daphne on AU 100.3. It is Lee Scott at Montgomery Academy. Don, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Yep. Dan, We'll see you in a while. You're on the road for a long time.
I should be here next Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I'll pop in.
We'll keep you updated with Dan's travels. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
Yellowwood knows that
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.